privilege, and that's really what it is, the privilege of living with him every moment in his house, finding the sweet loveliness of his face, filled with awe, delighting in his glory and grace. I want to live my life so close to him that he takes pleasure in my every prayer. Now, that's a beautiful thing, see? That the heart is the thing that we offer before God in sacrifice. Jan's going to be sharing next week on worship. And so she shared an interesting thing with me about, I'm not going to blow her whole teaching here, but I am going to have her share what she doesn't know about, but I'm going to have her share about what she taught me and shared with me about praise. So remember that. Microphone.
The Hebrew word is yada. It's pronounced yada. And the action behind it is to stretch out your hand. Like when you hear a song and it makes you want to lift your hands. It's mm-hmm. like a natural response to confess, to thank God, to praise him. And so that's why, you know, the action of your body when we're singing or doing something like that is this lifting up, right? And so there's a lot of words for praise, but that's one of them. And that's part of the reason why I think people got into lifting hands, even though it says to do it in the word, but it's a natural thing. It's what your body wants to do when you try to reach out to God to tell him something about how great he is, how great is our God, you know, and you just, like Barney when he's teaching, he lifts his hands up, right? And you respond to that, too, because it's a way to connect to God in just a physical action behind the heart of it.
Well, you know, when you have a child and they're reaching out to you, I mean, what's your tendency? Just turn your back and walk away? I mean, you know, you guys are teachers. You guys work in schools. I mean, you've had children. If a child reaches to you, you want to engage with them, right? So if we're reaching to God, we're kind of imploring and beseeching God. We want to engage with you. We don't have the words. We don't have the wherewithal to really maybe express to God. That's maybe why he's given us the Spirit, so we can speak perfectly, you know, to God. We're going to play a couple songs here in a minute, but I want to just say that, and I guess I've sort of formally titled this teaching this morning called The Truest Praise. In Zephaniah 3:17, you don't have to look there, I'll read it. It says, the Lord God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. This is God, like, overshadowing us. He's rejoicing in us. And then Psalm 63:3 says, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. Because your love, in the recognition of God's love for us, our immediate sort of this knee-jerk response to God is just to want to offer praise and thanksgiving. And that's why I sent out in the last couple of days this song by Don Moen called Praise Looks Good on You. And he does have a line in there where he says, we lift our hands in praise. You know, when I'm listening to the song, it just inspires me to want to lift my hands. So we're going to hear the song, listen to it, get blessed with it, okay?
When you lift your hands up high and you sing a song of praise to me, it brings me great delight. a lovely sight. And yes, it is true. Praise looks good on you. Morning, night, and noon, your praise ascends to heaven like the smell of sweet perfume, filling every room. And yes, it is true. Praise looks good on you.
That's right.
You bring your sacrifices and you offer up your praise. You lift your voice with singing, but your heart seems far away. More than a sacrifice, I am looking for your life. Holy and acceptable. Precious in my sight, but in all that you do, remember all I want is you.
Play it, who's don't.
Pleasant. It looks good on us. You know? You know when somebody's praising, it's hard to be frowning and like down, you know? Generally there's a sort of a correlation between praise and joy. And you know, it's amazing. Like you go to a club at night, maybe you did this in years gone by, or maybe you did it last night. I don't know. But people dance around and they jump and they, you know, you go to a wedding. What are people doing? They're dancing. They're smiling. They're happy. They're, oh my God. And they're singing these songs. You know, they sing the same songs at every wedding and they have from here on, you know, on and on and on. But you know what? It brings this thing out in people and they're just like all dancing around and just happy. Right? We've done it. We've all done it. I mean, you almost kind of, you know, you just have such a wonderful time just enjoying yourself. It's really something. You know, in Proverbs 15, it says, a glad heart makes a cheerful face. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is crushed. A joyful heart is a good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Job 8:21. He will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouting. You see, there's a correlation between praise and actually expressing the reality that you're blessed. You're joyful. See, Because, I mean, we can always look at things in a couple of different ways. You can see the glass half empty, right? You can always look at the dark side of things. Things will never work out. Why is the sun not out? How come it's raining? You know, it's never nice around here. I've always got this. Or you can look at the glass half full, right? You know, they say there's an 80% chance of sun and a 20% chance of rain. Most people are focused on the rain part and not the sun part, right? My God, it might rain today. Well, how about the 80% of the sun that's going to shine all day long? See, our attitudes really do have a lot to do in determining our spirituality. See, they really do. You know what? And a positive mental attitude is a really good thing to have. I remember in Philippians it said, whatsoever things, oh, I'm going to look at it here because I wrote it down because I'll maybe take it out of context here. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, it says the exhortation is to think on those things. Who's in control of your thinking? You are. If something else is controlling your thinking, then you just have to take a look at that and just say no. I'm the one who's thinking these thoughts. I'm the one who's going to tell myself what I'm going to think. Because otherwise, you know, you could be led around by your feelings, your emotions, circumstances, you know, a wide variety of other things. See. Wow. You know, the more we experience God's love, the more he becomes the primary desire and focus of our life. One of the biggest things that people don't really get, takes them forever and ever to get, is God really loves them. Because they're so focused on their own flesh. They look in the mirror, they think they're overweight, they have pimples, they have whatever, they're getting, you know, years are going by, and, you know, and so there's kind of this unworthiness. But the reality is God loves us. He sees us far beyond anything, any perspective we might have. The law really pointed out the inability of man to really become worthy, right? But we should have this great desire. We find ourselves longing to please God simply because we love him. And that is the greatest joy in life, is to experience a genuine love relationship with God. To know that he is for us, that he loves us, is the greatest source of security any person will ever know. Discovering the glorious grace of God is one of the most important events in the spiritual experience. We learn to relate to God on an entirely new basis, not based on my works or my righteousness, but based on God's love for me through Jesus Christ. That is grace, and that is what makes life worth living. In fact, it is what makes life really abundant and full and satisfying and fulfilling. For when our eyes are open to the astonishing truth that our relationship with God does not depend upon the puny pebble of our own efforts, but upon the massive rock of his unchanging loving character, life opens before us in a technicolor explosion of awesome possibilities. Because there we are. We're walking with the creator of the heavens and the earth. What is impossible for God? You know, I think God is just limited by us. You know, what we're willing to take on, what we're willing to say yes to. You know, is our heart's desire before God is just, light me up, God. You know, give me everything you've got for me because I want to fulfill every ounce of potential and everything that I am and can be for you in this life. This is the only life I have. I'm not coming back as the Pope. Okay, like I can influence more people that way somehow. This is the life we have, right? So at what point in time do we then begin to adapt ourselves and see the transformation take place so that we become all that God desires for us to be. Grace, this grace, it transforms desolate and bleak plains into rich green pastures. It's the thing that allows us to move into this secret place with God, to bring us into those pastures that are rich. See? It changes this grit your teeth duty into loving, enthusiastic service. It exchanges the tears and guilt of our own failed efforts for the external thrill and laughter of freely offered pleasures at the right hand of God. Grace changes everything. The truest praise, don't get this, the truest praise is that which rises spontaneously from our hearts as we recognize God's marvelous grace towards us. Grace, as we begin to really realize what God has brought us out of, it puts us in this place where we are just so amazingly thankful. Otherwise, it's just religious service. Oh yeah, great preaching, Barney. You know, Jesus confronted the Pharisees and Sadducees at one point in time. He said, their lips, they honor me. They say the right things, do the right things, pray at the right time, do all this stuff, but their hearts are far from me. See, that's what we're really talking about here, the heart before God. Not just going through the motions, but what does that in working of God bring to the surface? It's that spontaneous response to the greater understanding of what God is really redeeming from. So we're going to skip one song. I want to play the song by the Gaithers. Obviously, you've figured out by now I really like these guys. And they have another really wonderful song, and it's called You Amaze Me. So let's listen to that.
I watched the morning sun light the sky. You held creation as it came to life. You amaze me. Oh Lord, you amaze me. I watched the ocean crash against the sand. Behind the boundaries of your unseen hand, you amaze me. God, you amaze me. When everything was void, you were there. Darkness was everywhere. When you spoke the word, there was light. You held dust in your hand, gave it breath and called it man. The angels that stood by your side must have cried, you amaze me. Holy, holy. The seasons as they come and go, a field of flowers to a field of snow. You amaze me.
You amaze me.
Oh, you amaze me. I watched a mother hold a newborn child that looked like mama with a daddy smile. You amaze me. Oh, God, you amaze me. When everything was void, you were there. Darkness was everywhere. When you spoke the word, there was light. You held dust in your hand, gave it breath and called it man. The angels that stood by your side must have cried, you amaze me.
Yeah, that's one way to say it. You amaze me, huh? Wow. Powerful, powerful. Yeah, Psalm 30, verse 11 says, "You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning, clothed me with joy that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. Oh, Lord, my God, I will keep you. I will give you thanks for how long? Forever, forever." You know, the enemy wants to keep you quiet. He wants to shut you up. He doesn't want you a happy Christian. He doesn't want you a thankful Christian. He wants you bummed out, man. See? And we all have to fight it every day to not go kind of down a road that causes us to get all inner focused and on problems and circumstances. Got to stand. You got to stand. You got to say no. See? Psalm 27:4, I shared this the last time. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire his temple." See? "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it." God is beautiful. Oh, man, you start looking at this thing. You start seeing the verses that David wrote as he was inspired. How fearfully and wonderfully made, and what his response to that was. Praise. Praise. Paul said, "I speak in tongues more than you all." You know what? Paul was pretty up there on the prayer list, praise list, don't you think? The speaking in tongues is one of the greatest abilities we have to really genuinely offer heartfelt praise. So we've still got a ways to go to say more than y'all. But we're working on it. We have guys like Bob who are inspired to remind us, writing pamphlets and books and sharing and that sort of thing. We're reminding each other. See, the world may give speaking in tongues a bad rap. That has no effect on me whatsoever. See? Because we know what God's word says. The beauty of what God has given his son, Jesus Christ, on our behalf so that we can have the Spirit. See? So that we can enter into this relationship, which is just so, so beautiful, so wonderful. So, it's really something, man. Tell you what. I get excited about it. It's just hard for me to even pick out songs. They're all awesome. It's hard for me to pick out verses. They're all amazing, you know. But you know what? It's helpful to remember that God designed the human mind to work almost like a computer does. Remember Jan taught a while ago something about downloading information from God? We relate to that because, I got to tell you this little joke. I wish I had the cartoon here, but it was somebody standing at the pearly gates, and somebody was checking him in there, and the guy was standing here, and this is like whoever this angel was checking him into heaven. He said his username and password don't match. We're denying entry. We can all relate to that, right? You forgot your password. But God designed the human mind to be much as a computer. You know, a computer can only produce that which has been programmed into it. In like manner, our minds are being programmed every day. If our input comes from the flesh, our lives will be characterized by the flesh. You will begin to produce that which you put into your mind. I mean, it's just the way it is. If we begin to program our minds with the things of the Spirit, our lives will begin to reflect the priorities of the Spirit. How easy it is to fall into the trap of making a bold profession of a vital spiritual life when our number one priority is seeking to please the flesh. It's a little contradictory, isn't it? And I'm not here to judge, but it almost sounds hypocritical. Certainly the power that our fallen nature can hold over us is one of the biggest problems we face in this life. So how can we be free from the seemingly unconquerable bondage that we have to this flesh that we live in? See, how do we become free from ourselves? There is a simple answer, and it's this. Don't fight the flesh. Strengthen the spirit. Strengthen the spirit. Don't fight so hard against the flesh. We don't fight against the darkness. We turn on the light. It's light that dispels darkness. It's not trying to control the flesh that controls the flesh. It's the introduction of spiritual principles and living that overcomes the thing of the flesh. So to do this, we got to recognize we have both a spiritual and a fleshly side to us. And if we're going to walk in the Spirit, then we're going to have to feed the Spirit. Okay? We all know what it means to feed the Spirit, the fleshly side to our nature, the physical side. If most people miss feeding their physical body, if I would miss a meal or a couple of meals, you know what? Your body is generally not subtle about reminding me of what it needs, right? You start to say things. You start to act a certain way. You start to think you get certain physical sensations. You know, you say, my blood sugar's dropping. I've got to get something to eat. I'm getting hangry. I'm 100 other things, right? Hangry is hungry and angry at the same time. Okay. If you never said that before, you need to say it sometime, you know. I'm getting hangry. Someone once told me that after 3 days of fasting, the hunger goes away. I found the opposite to be true. 3 days into a fast, my mind is busy dreaming of the most luscious concoctions imaginable. This is simply my body's way, the body's way, emphatic way of reminding me that it needs, its needs must be tended to. And so we spend an exorbitant amount of time generally taking care of the physical body. We'll go to Sprouts. We go to Whole Foods. We go to Trader Joe's, Vaughn's, Costco, Smart and Final. Why? Get food. Because we want to so try and care for our bodies with the things that we feel like will make it function better. We exercise. We take vitamins that we could grow strong physically. We go to exercise classes. We go to the massage therapist. We do all sorts of things for our physical body. Well, doesn't it make sense that being strong spiritually would require some sort of effort? Or do you just put on the tape at night and go to sleep? And the next morning, you just know the entire chapter of Ephesians 1 from just what? Osmosis? No, you're going to have to put some kind of effort forward. And a lot of times with God, it doesn't really take that much. A lot of times it's just God, bam! You know, he just kind of downloads all this stuff. Because you just took a moment to get your eyes off your own stuff, yourself, and engage with God. Hey, we're all human beings. This is real stuff we're talking about here. You know, the only person who walked perfectly with God was Jesus Christ. Every situation, every circumstance, he went to God. I can't say that. I can absolutely 100% guarantee you I do not do that. But I'm working on it. And I think if we hear about it and we exhort each other and we encourage each other, the answers are there. See, We must regularly consume the bread of life, the Word of God, fellowships like this, time in the morning, speaking in tongues, praying, ministering, reading the Word, listening to music. You know, you might think this is silly music. This music, people get healed with music all the time. It's the living Word of God. These psalms that we're reading, those were songs that were written by David by revelation. See. So let's look at one. How about Psalm 113:3, Jeffrey? From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. I just don't look at this as a, I mean, it is pretty. But I mean, I just don't look at it as a pretty picture with, you know, some nice words on it. I really, that moves my heart, you know. Next one, Psalm 59:17. Oh, my strength, I will sing praises to you, for you, God, are my fortress, the God who shows me his steadfast love. And then Psalm 30:12. That I might sing praises to you and what? Not be silent. Oh, my God, my Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. It's just, these are the sort of things that just feed the Spirit. See? And look at this next one. This is so cute. Psalm 47:1-2. Come on, everybody, clap your hands. Shout to God with joyful praise, for the Lord Most High is awesome. He is the great King of all the earth. This is so cute. It's so beautiful. Because that's like us. We're like little kids. I mean, I know we're all embarrassed to, you know, make sure no one's seeing us. But, you know, maybe in the privacy of your own house, you can actually do something weird, you know, or spill, you know, quote unquote, dancing to the Lord and shouting and doing all sorts of stuff. Where, what is the rule? See, who is it that established the rules of what is right and proper? This little girl's having fun, man. I just love it. I just love it. Okay, and finally, this verse in Judges chapter 5, verse 3. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes, I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. I think that was written by Deborah. Judges. Wow. Some wonderful verses just to remind us the importance and the awesomeness of singing praise to Almighty God. There's just so much more and so many things that we could continue to go on. Jan's going to be sharing next week on kind of some differences between praise and worship. But if anything, over the last couple of times that I've been able to share, it's just that praise is really a heart thing. It's just a reflection of the heart before God. And just, this is how we love God. How, I mean, honestly, how does someone love God? I mean, you can show your love for another human being. You tell them, I love you. You touch them. You hug them. You whatever. And how does someone love God? See, good things to think about. So, we're going to close this fellowship, this part of the fellowship, with this song by Home Free. I first heard it. Jeffrey played it one time, and he was excited about it a number of months ago. So I think this will bless you, and then we'll – we do ever do manifestations today? No, we'll do that after this then, okay? You can sing along with this. You'll know it.
Oh, Lord, my God, some wonder. Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars.
I see the stars.
I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
When through the woods and forest glades I mountain grandeur, and see the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul. Shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my
joy
heart?
Shall fill my heart.
Then I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great. Savior God, to thee.
How great thou art, how great thou art.
How great thou art.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
How great thou art, how great thou art. How Father, thank you for your love and grace. How great you are, Father. How we stand before you in utter amazement and just awe. We bow before your throne of grace, Father, to offer the sacrifice of praise. We sacrifice our entire lives, everything we are. God, you're just so good to us, and thank you that we can move forward from this place strengthened. A little bit more transformed, more encouraged to live the way that we're designed to live. I pray in Christ's name, amen.